Melinda Hayes was very excited. She had just finished her first novel titled Mother of Pearl, and she got a phone call. And the woman on the other side who answered the phone said, I just read your book. It's awesome. How did you ever do it? And excitedly, Melinda launches into this explanation about how her life at one point was an absolute disaster, filled with fears, phobias, panic attacks one after the other, and attempted suicide. Her two daughters were terrified at what was happening to their mother. And one day, in fear and in panic, she just gets into the car and she drives off by herself. And she writes this: I pulled over at the first house of worship I saw. It was a Catholic church. I don't know why, but I started to cry. I mean, I sobbed. I wept. All I know is that I felt safe in this place for the very first time in my life. A tall man in casual clothes sat down beside me, handed me a handkerchief. Matter-of-factly, he began to explain the designed elements of the church, and then he started to talk to me about the sacraments. Now, Melinda kept on going back to this Catholic church just to visit, and there, she went over and over again. The reason she did was because she felt safe in this place. Then one day she decides she's going to go to Mass in this Catholic church. And the part of the Mass, the priest holds up the elements. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. And the people all said together, Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof. Only say the words and my soul shall be healed. And she said that was the first time she ever heard that in her life. It just struck her deeply. And she said she could feel deep inside that somehow or other she was being transformed. All her fears, all her phobias, all this was just simply melting away from her. And she was realizing that she was learning or experiencing this whole new direction in her life. All of a sudden, Melinda realized she didn't even know who she was talking to on the phone. And so she kind of apologized and he says, I'm sorry, I haven't asked you your name. And the woman on the other side says, oh, this is Oprah Winfrey. We would like to feature your book on my television show. And so she just sort of thanked God for this remarkable grace she experienced and this whole new way in her life. You know, a couple weeks ago, I said to all of you that people don't get attracted to our faith because of our dogma and our theology. They get attracted to our faith because of the witness of Christians. How Christians live out there is what attracts people to our faith. And by the way, how Christians live out there also keeps them away from our faith. And I just think of the clergy scandal, just, you know, kind of off the top of my head a little bit. But there's one exception to that, and that exception is the Eucharist itself. The Eucharist, the real presence of Jesus Christ, has attracted many, many, many different people to our faith, like Melinda Hayes, who I'm talking about here today. And they come to the liturgy with this joy and this enthusiasm, and then they meet us. And all of a sudden, it's like, why don't they have the joy and the enthusiasm that I have about all this? And one time there was a priest, he was having breakfast with a Muslim one time, and this Muslim, his name was John Donahue, the priest was, and the Muslim starts pumping him about the Eucharist, our belief in the Eucharist, and he's trying to answer his questions. And then at a certain point, the priest kind of writes this, he says, I thought I was responding to all his concerns about the Catholic belief in the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. But none of my responses seemed to address his deepest concern about it. Until finally I asked, what is your most basic problem with what Catholics believe about the Eucharist? He thought for a moment. And then he answered, well, if Catholics really believe that they receive the body and blood of Christ together as a community, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, why do they treat each other the way that they do? Now, if I could rephrase that question maybe a little bit differently of what that Muslim was asking that priest, he was asking something like this. What difference does it make if bread and wine becomes the body and blood of Christ and you and I don't become the body and blood of Christ? I mean, the great transformation that occurs in this place here today, tonight, is not going to stop at the altar here. You and I are also supposed to be transformed by this very same thing. Now, let me refer for just a moment to the Eucharistic prayer. And by the way, I want to thank you for, during Mass, not having your missal open during Mass during the Eucharistic prayer. I know sometimes that's the big daydream time of Mass during the Eucharistic prayer because the words kind of like you lose you somewhere along the way. But I want you to pay a particular attention today to the part after the words of consecration. And not long after the words of consecration. I'm going to use Eucharistic prayer too today. I'm not telling you that because I want you to look. I'm just telling you that because here's the particular words I want you to ponder. It says, humbly we pray that partaking the body and blood of Christ, we may be gathered into one by the Holy Spirit. Now, Eucharistic prayer 3, I think, says it even a little more clearly when they say, grant that we who are nourished by the body and blood of your Son and filled with his Holy Spirit may become one body, one spirit in Christ. So what the Eucharistic prayer is saying is that what happens on that altar, bread and wine becomes the body and blood of Christ, is supposed to happen to us. You and I are supposed to become the body and blood of Christ. So can you see that the real point of bread and wine becoming the body and blood of Christ is so that you and I become the body and blood of Christ as we come to Holy Communion to receive it? And how could we ever in any way not be somehow or other touched and transformed by all that? How can you and I not be in awe of all that? Somehow realizing that more and more each time you and I come, we are to become more and more like Jesus Christ himself, entering into this intimate personal relationship with him, and then the gospel, to live the gospel more and more each and every time we celebrate. How can we ever be passive or just sort of go through the motions about all of this? And yet sometimes we have a way of rationalizing or some kinds of false humility or, oh, not me, poor me, I'm not supposed to be the body and blood of Christ. And so we dismiss the action that God wants to take in our lives and we miss the whole point. We reduce all this to somehow or other just fulfilling an obligation. Yikes. And somehow I think Jesus weeps whenever we do that very thing, missing the dignity of who we are. One time there was a bishop, and he was giving a retreat to these young people. And the young people went to this particular bishop, and they said to him, we don't really know what it means at the core to be a Catholic. What does it really mean to be a Catholic? And it's kind of funny, those of you that came on Monday night to our Unlocking the Mystery of the Bible, Jeff Cavins, the speaker in the video, said the same thing. He said, we all have this pile of Catholic stuff, but we don't know what to do with it all. What's the point of all this? And so the bishop said this to these young people. He said, here, I want you to do two things, he said. I want you to go to Mass every single Sunday, same church, every Sunday for 6 months, going to Holy Communion to receive the body and blood of Christ. Then he said, the second thing I want you to do is I want you to go and serve the poor someplace, some soup kitchen, the family kitchen, somewhere along the way, to serve the poor someplace for 6 months and do it a lot for 6 months to be as the body and blood of Christ, and you'll know what it means to be a Catholic. If you do those two things. You and I should have this remarkable, remarkable joy at what it means for you and I to celebrate this Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. What an awesome thing. But it cannot stop there. You and I are called to be the body and blood of Christ. Now, at the end of the gospel today, it says this. They ate and drank. I stuck the drank part in there, you know, myself. So anyway, they ate and drank and were satisfied. And when the leftover fragments were picked up, they filled 12 wicker baskets. The number 12 there is very important because the number 12 means there that this is meant for everybody. Now, how are they going to know about all this unless you tell them about this wonderful thing you and I experience Sunday after Sunday after Sunday? So what I would like you to do when you leave Mass today, we have these little loaves of bread. This represents the 12 wicker baskets left over. And I want you to take one, or I want you to take two, and I want you to give them to someone else to share, and then I want you to share with them in a way about your love for this and invite them to come. Take one, take two. Now, I wonder, who's the person that's not going to take any? What does that mean if you don't take any? I don't want to share it. I'm not that excited about it. This is just an obligation for me, after all. Well, then, if you're honest about that, then maybe you shouldn't take any, you know, somewhere along the way. But I'm going to really challenge you to take a loaf of, this is not a snack on the way home for anybody here. So this is not meant for, this is meant for others, to give other folks the baskets in the back of the church. Just grab one, and then somewhere along the way, and you got to do it soon because it'll get stale, you know, they don't want stale bread. Pretty soon, just to give this loaf of bread to someone else and invite them to this awesome experience that you and I have Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. And I want you to think once again, what difference does it make if bread and wine becomes the body and blood of Christ? If you, if I, don't become the body and blood of Christ.